Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, Terence Mowry is a world-leading expert and speaker on the future of leadership, artificial intelligence and disruption. He's at the spearhead of a movement for leaders to turn disruption into a tailwind for rethinking leadership for a post-AI world. His latest book is called The Upside of Disruption, The Path to Leading and Thriving in the Unknown. He joins me now. How are you, Terence?
Hi, Bobby. Great to join you on the show.
Now, just tell us firstly, you say that we humans crave certainty so much that we miss the upside of disruption. Give me your thoughts around that. Why do we as humans crave certainty?
It's such a great question, such a great framing. This idea that we crave the comfort of certainty. It's like a warm blanket. It's predictable. It makes us feel safe. But, you know, your listeners will be able to relate to this, and you as well, which is, you know, often we're stuck in a job that's no longer giving us growth and challenge and energy, or we're in a relationship that's no longer functional. And so the idea is sometimes we need to disrupt ourselves rather than let everyone else talk about disruption, job disruption, for example. It's far better to do a bit of self-disruption and take control of your future. And that's what the whole book is about.
So you say that you can get ahead of disruption by taking control. And I think I get that. That at least, if you have some control on something, you're less freaked out, or at least you've kind of less anxiety around it. Would that be fair to say?
Exactly. So, you know, part of this disruption narrative is also asking yourself the question, what am I certain about? And that's a question that every company forgets to ask. They're obsessed with change and uncertainty. I call them uncertainty chasers. And like you said, that creates anxiety and, you know, it's not a comfortable place to be. So counterintuitively, a great question to ask ourselves is, what are we certain about? Because you can form a strategy, a vision, and make things happen when you decide what you're certain about.
And can we be certain about anything, Terence, in today's world?
Well, that's a good question. I'm certain that if I am obsessed with value and getting closer to my customers, they're probably going to appreciate me more than my competition. I'm certain that if I adopt curiosity and I'm a learner, not a knower, that actually I'll be more resilient. I'm certain that if I really practice deliberate, intentional listening, I'm going to stand out as an outstanding human being. So I think there are certain things that we can be certain about, despite you know, disruptive trends, AI, automation, job scarcity, industry convergence, geopolitical super cycles, we can still be certain.
Okay. You also say in the book, I think it's a really good point that we always overestimate the risk of trying new things, but we underestimate the risk of standing still. I think that says an awful lot in one line.
Yes. You know, we live, if we're lucky, we live for about 960 months. That's just 80 years of age. And in this age of acceleration, it's never been easier to waste time. You know, I love technology. Of course I do. But technology is also very good at making the trivial seem urgent. We're spending, you know, 30,000 emails a year on average for the average person now. And so this idea that, you know, not taking a risk is a risk when uncertainty is high is a really important takeaway for our listeners.
Yeah, the risk of standing still. We all know inherently that if you stand still, you're going backwards. But it still doesn't stop so many people when it comes to living their lives. They're running to stand still.
Yeah, it's so true. I interviewed a 100-year-old lady recently, and you know, she is she's like a student for life. She did a degree at the age of 83, a master's at the age of 88, twice as old as the professor when she graduated. For her 100th birthday, she did a parachute jump twice. And when I asked her what her secret was, she said the regret of inaction outnumbers the regret of action. The regret of inaction outnumbers the regret of action. And I thought, what a great mantra. What a great spirit to live by.
You talk about talent scarcity. What are the implications of that in the context of disruption?
Big financial impact, first of all. So my research during the book shows that potentially up to $15 trillion impact on global GDP over the next 10 years from talent scarcity. And what that means is everybody at a very practical level, because I'm really interested in, you know, practical, actionable, relatable, is that we all need to be thinking about reskilling and upskilling and cross-skilling. And a question for us all to think about is, what is my reskilling strategy? You know, what new things am I learning? And what things am I unlearning or letting go of or saying goodbye to that are holding me back and making me heavy and slowing me down?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You talked there about unlearning and that good leaders learn, but great leaders unlearn. Tell me more about that.
The research that I've worked on shows that everybody wants to be agile and nimble. And we have all these, all these buzz terms, buzzwords. I mean, even job titles are being disrupted, for example. I recently came across a director of disruption. He confessed to me he was as popular as a funeral director. But my point here is that, unlearning is about letting go of some of the old ways of thinking, old ways of doing, old practices, old processes that have gone off like yogurt in the fridge, best practices that have become broken practices, too many meetings that don't make a difference. It's about, doing like a Marie Kondo every quarter and saying, what do we need to eliminate? Elimination, unlearning is one of the finest forms of agility because it gives us extra energy and bandwidth to focus on more intelligent work rather than just bureaucratic work.
And would another word for unlearning be breaking habits, or does that fall into the same category?
Breaking habits, saying goodbye to some of the always done ways. And it's really that mindset, a reductionist discipline and humility to recognize that sometimes we hold on to habits about our mindsets or things about ourselves that are no longer true, that are holding us back in our personal life or our professional life. And actually, we need to really choose courage over comfort and let go of this. I'm not saying it's easy to do. It's not, but we should try.
I wanted to ask you about meta-anxiety. Tell me about that, because it seems that technology is driving us in a particular way, and there are a lot of people suffering as a result of this.
Here's a paradox, which is technology changes fast, humans don't. We have paleolithic brains, medieval institutions, but godlike technology. And we have this wisdom gap. Technology is accelerating exponentially. Remember, today is the slowest it will ever be. Today is the slowest AI will ever be. So technology is going up exponentially, but our paleolithic brains haven't changed for millennia, which means our ability to respond to complexity, to bureaucracy, to all these multiplying and overlapping disruptions is creating what I call meta-anxiety. Anxiety about anxiety. We're worried about our jobs, our security, automation. We're worried about the war in Ukraine. We're worried about the presidential race. And the list goes on.
Yeah.
And so it's a really important point because that has an impact on our happiness, our relationships. We need to, that's why I think it's important to be clear about what we're certain about, which gives us strength and certainty.
Yeah, and you mentioned AI there. There's a lot of buzz about it. There's a lot of talk about it. But what's your own take on it at this juncture?
You know what, Bobby? I've actually created a new term for AI. So we need to be careful of artificial idiocy.
Yeah.
AI, artificial idiocy. What I mean by that is outsourcing our humanity, outsourcing our creativity, outsourcing what makes us human to a machine. And I write in the book, The Upside of Disruption, about this idea of artificial idiocy and artificial intimacy, artificial interactions. And I think AI can play a play. Inevitably, look, $1 trillion of CapEx has gone into AI over the next 5 years. It's not going to go away. But I think where AI can help is where we outsource low-value, repetitive, soul-sucking tasks, but we're left to focus on the higher-value creative work. The problem is that many in Silicon Valley don't actually want that. What they want is to automate everything under the banner of AGI, and so artificial general intelligence. And I think politicians, policymakers, we all need to wake up to that threat.
Well, look, it's a fascinating book. It's called The Upside of Disruption, The Path to Leading and Thriving in the Unknown. Where is it available, Terence?
Thanks, Bobby. So it'll be Amazon, WH Smith, Waterstones, online or offline. And really appreciated our chat today. Really enjoyed it.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.